At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
At the Barley House, and of course, we are supporting our friends Real American Freestyle as well. But we got a big Buckeyes game to get into and a big event this weekend coming up as well on Saturday. For more, we go out to the fan hotline. Let's talk to Joshua Perry, NBC Sports Rush to the Field podcast, of course, a national champion with the Buckeyes as well. Joshua, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks for being here. All right, let's get into this. Arch Manning versus Julian Sayin, the quarterback matchup. What are you expecting here for the Buckeyes and Julian Sayin in particular?
Well, for Julian, I think the key for him is to not feel like he has to go out there and be a hero. And it's something Ryan Day has talked about. And I think it's a tough thing for a young quarterback, and especially when you got the keys to an offense like Ohio State where there's so much firepower, you think you got to make every play. And for him, it's just about going through the progression, making the right read, and getting it to whichever playmaker the ball should go to. So he's got to manage the emotions of running out there in that stadium, and it feels great to be out there. But, you get a little bit of anxiety sometimes, first time going out as a starter. And then he's just got to rely on his teammates there. The interesting thing is that communication between Julian and Ryan Day and Brian Hartline, the new offensive coordinator play caller for Ohio State. Going to be a lot of maybe newness, some feeling out probably early on in the game. And I'm most curious to see how that goes. What is their communication like? How do they all make adjustments? And ultimately, what's the play calling rhythm?
Joshua, on the other side, that quarterback battle against Arch Manning, I mean, for him to be able to live up to that hype, he'd have to throw six touchdown passes for 800 yards in this game. But how has Ohio State prepared for the unknown of Arch Manning in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit out there, right? Like, we saw him last year. Ohio State saw him in the semifinal and knocked him out of the game there. But he's a guy who clearly has the pedigree. He's got a great arm. He's got some mobility as well, which is something that they have to keep an eye on. But Arch Manning's also going to be going out behind an offensive line that's replacing four or five starters. So there are going to be some questions there, too, with Texas's offense. Now, they're extremely talented. Their running back room is stacked. They had injuries last year, and those guys are healthy now. They've got a really good wide receiver room as well. So he's got the weapons there. I'm curious what the trenches look like. For Ohio State, you have to understand when you're going against a younger quarterback, there are going to be a lot of things that he hasn't seen out there. And it's one of the reasons why they like Jim Knowles, and it's one of the reasons why they brought in Matt Patricia to replace him. These are guys who can be multiple with their defense. They can show you multiple looks in the front. They can give you different pictures in the secondary. And ultimately, without getting too cute, because Ohio State's got great players on defense, they have to change up the look to put a young quarterback in conflict on the road. Again, I look at the quarterback paired up with the play caller. Steve Sarkisian's one of the best sequential play callers in college football. So the plan is going to be really good for the Texas offense. But Ohio State has to be able to show different pictures to a quarterback who hasn't played a ton of football in college yet. And that'll be one of the keys to success.
What does the backfield look like for Ohio State in this game? It's interesting to me because everyone's talking about defense and the run game being something that matters early on for both sides. What does this look like?
It is going to be a question, right? Like, I think that's one of the big things that I'll have my eye on early in the game. As I mentioned, you got all the talent on the outside. You got Max Clair, who came in at tight end for Ohio State, and I think he's got to be a big feature. But one of the things that ended up being a difference maker for Ohio State, particularly in the playoff run, was Treguion Henderson was a home run from any point in the field at any moment. He could hit you the big play and get you that momentum. And Quinshon Judkins was very similar, but also was going to get you the really tough yards there. So what does Peoples look like? Heard some good things about him, heard some good things about Donaldson, but ultimately it's a big unknown. And for Ohio State, you cannot be in a position where you feel like you have to drop back constantly because you're behind the sticks. Texas has guys up front that can make your day miserable if you're going to be in drop back passing mode. So this has to be a complementary game plan. And that means that these guys that we don't know a ton about right now have to show up in a big way.
I also wanted to ask you, Joshua, what you made this week out of the whole Dave Portnoy pregame thing, banned from Ohio Stadium, not banned from Ohio Stadium. Where do you fall on that whole spectacle?
So it's an interesting thing. I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, what they think about it. And where I've landed is media companies are notoriously awful communicators. They don't talk to production, like the top people, the suits don't talk to production very well. Production sometimes gets a little bit lost in the sauce with talent. And ultimately, you have an idea of what's getting ready to happen, and it's not exactly the thing that was talked about. So I'm sure Fox had conversations with the Big Ten schools when they hired Portnoy, and I'm sure a lot of that conversation was, this guy says really inflammatory things about our schools, and we don't really want him anywhere around. And I'm of the opinion that not everybody who's hired by a network deserves to have a press pass. Like, he's not a traditional analyst in the sense that he is objective and unbiased, right? So, like, I get that whole part of it. I think there might have been a miscommunication about what exactly his role was going to be from the people at Fox. I don't know this to be true, but it wouldn't shock me if that was the case. So now you get all these things lost in translation where maybe Fox didn't define what he was going to be doing when they went inside the stadium. And then the Big Ten schools, I'm sure, had some pushback on this addition of talent who is inflammatory. And now you get a scenario where the guy's calling an emergency press conference because he knows that this is going to be something that he can create engagement with. And this whole story is overblown. The biggest thing to me is they bring in somebody who is an independent media influencer type. And that certainly has a role in today's day and age of media. It also doesn't mean that guy has to be a fixture at the desk. We saw when Fox had Clay Travis, who was kind of a similar thing. He would be out in a parking lot somewhere and they'd buzz him in for a few minutes during the show a couple of times. And that was that. That was how I saw the Portnoy thing going. And it was kind of insane to me when I saw this report that he was mad he couldn't be at the desk. I never thought that was an option for a guy like him to begin with.
Joshua Perry, NBC Sports Rushing the Field podcast, of course, a national champion with your Buckeyes as well, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, let's get into the idea of just how hard it is to cap this game, because I think it's an incredibly difficult thing to try to do. 26 new players between the two rosters, drafted to the NFL last year, 8 new starters for Ohio State. How would you even begin to try to look at this game?
Well, I would look at it like this, is the array of different outcomes I think is vast in this game. I could see a game where Texas starts to run away with it. I could see a game where Ohio State starts to run away with it. And I could see a game where either of these teams wins in a close one. Because there are a lot of unknowns here, but you have very talented coaching staffs with really good players at their disposal. So I think the biggest thing that I'm watching for on the Ohio State side is with the new coordinators, with new play callers and some new faces out there, what does it look like? This is not exactly the matchup that you would want with all the changes in week one, but here we are, and I think we're all excited about it. But they have to manage the newness extremely well. Good thing they're playing at home. You don't have to worry about going on the road and dealing with all that. That's something to see there. And then, as I mentioned, you know, if Arch has to drop back, if Ohio State's able to build a good wall up front and stop the run, can you get after some of the new players that they have on the offensive line? Can you create maybe some of those havoc plays, a strip sack? Can you force them into a bad throw that turns into an interception? The edge to me here is I think Ohio State has the two best players in the United States of America. Jeremiah Smith, who only had 3 yards in the semifinal game, but is probably looking to get his get back. And then you've got Caleb Downs on the defensive side of the ball, who's one of the smartest players I've ever interacted with. And if those two guys can be the leaders that we know them to be, if those two guys can create some of the big plays that we know that they can create, that's where the game swings in a big way for Ohio State. So as I look at it, I actually think that Texas is in a better position to win this game, just less turnover with the coaching staff. You've got some of the familiar faces, particularly on their defense, that I think can be big game wreckers. But Ohio State's got the X factor there where they have the two best players in the United States.
what you just mentioned there with Jeremiah Smith and those 3 yards, that really feels like what Texas fans have clung to in this matchup. So how does Ryan Day, how does Julian Sayin make sure that they're getting Jeremiah Smith the ball early and often throughout this matchup?
So I'm gonna be that guy and say, I don't know if you have to do that. They found a way to win it the last time without doing it. Texas had a great game plan. You find a way to get at least 2 players over top of Jeremiah Smith, maybe even a 3rd player, depending on what the coverage looks like, and you take him out of the game plan. But if I'm Ohio State, I'm saying, okay, we've got Carnell Tate, who's is a great player for us, who's going to be a great player this year. You've got Brandon Ennis, who is a captain, and everybody's talked about how he's ready to take a leadership role. And then I mentioned Max Clair at tight end, who's the best tight end that Ohio State's had in a little while here. Get the ball to those guys, right? Like, if Jeremiah's not open, you don't have to force him the football. And he is an unselfish player in the sense that he knows that whatever he has to do to make the team successful, and if that's being a decoy at times, he's going to do it if they can get the win. So you'd like to see him get involved and make some of those big plays. Like, it makes us all feel good. But the reality is, if the game plan says that Jeremiah's covered, you got a whole bunch of other guys who are really, really good players that you just get the football to.
I want to jump a little bit deeper, Joshua, with you into the run game. Obviously, Judkins up here in Cleveland with us and the Browns, Travion Henderson in the National Football League as well in New England. How's Ohio State going to do it on the ground?
So I think last year, one of the biggest things that Ohio State had was not just the talent of the players, Judkins and Henderson, you mentioned, it was the utilization. It was a scheme in the run game, and that was a lot of Chip Kelly's influence, where you got guys on the move. They had pullers in there. He found creative ways to create bigger surfaces and blocking matchups that he liked. And then the other part was Travion Henderson was one of the best that I've seen in a little while in catching the football out of the backfield, whether it's the swing passes, whether it's the screens, or they motion to empty, and they put him in the formation to run a route. So for Ohio State, I think that it's not just, you know, can those players make the plays, but how do you create an advantageous situation to where you feel like you can gain a numbers advantage in the run game? How do you find a matchup maybe in the pass game where you get those guys involved as an extension of the run game? Quick out of the backfield, throw it to them, give them some space, and let them go there. That's, to me, where the evolution has to continue to come. I thought it was really good last year in the sense that they didn't just rely on guys to be able to make players miss or run somebody over. They said, we're going to find ways to highlight you within scheme. And I think that's where this is a full coaching staff effort, where Brian Hartline, we've talked about, is a new play caller, a new offensive line coach that they brought in, was also a coordinator. And I think that was on purpose, because you want a guy whose expertise is in the front of the offense. So I really like the idea of what Ohio State staff can do to help elevate the running back room.
Joshua, when you were winning a national title, I mean, you guys had no room for error. That was just the reality of it. You had to win every single game, and you had to do it with style points as well. Do you like the idea that even like an early season loss to Texas, it's just not as punitive anymore as what it used to be? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the sport?
I'm 50-50 on it. I'm really not 50-50 on it. I like the old way of college football. I honestly, we go back to the BCS where there were 2 teams that got to play for it at the end of the year. I wouldn't even be mad about that. The playoff has done a lot of great things. We were a beneficiary of it when we won in 14. We were the last team in there. We had the early season loss that we had to overcome, but we still had our shot to compete for a championship. Where I think I'm hurting right now is we try to assign value to every game to say that, like, oh, you know, this is an important game and this is an unimportant game. And maybe if we put more teams in the postseason, we can make some of these games more important during the regular season. And my argument to that is Ohio State, Texas, which is one of the most anticipated week one matchups that we've ever seen, might not mean that much in terms of outcome, because either one of those teams can lose and still make it into the college football playoff at the end of the year. Ohio State, Michigan as a rivalry doesn't feel as punitive to the loser, because that team can make it into the college football playoff at the end of the year. Now, where did the value go and where are the games more important? Like, I don't know, Nebraska's playing Rutgers in week 11, and like Nebraska's right on that edge of being, you know, the last at-large team, and we're like, oh, this is a really important game for Nebraska. And I just kind of sigh a little bit, because it's like, congratulations, but like, that's also a blue blood team that hasn't lived up in the last 3 decades of college football. Like, I don't think we need to add importance to their games. They just need to get better as a program. So all of that to say, I like watching all the games, man. I'm a college football junkie. I would watch them even if they were playing on a blacktop somewhere. I don't need somebody to tell me the games are important. I don't need a bigger playoff to make it feel more important. But I'm going to enjoy all of them regardless. So that's my answer on that.
Everybody has talked about, Joshua, just how important this game is for State, for Texas. We were debating right before we went to break. Can you remember a week one game as big as this one?
No. Like, no. And I've been trying to think about it as we're preparing to go on air here. We've got a show tonight on Peacock, and then we've got our primetime spot tomorrow on NBC. And you know, we're talking about the magnitude of this week one because it's not just Ohio State, Texas. Like, you've got Notre Dame playing Miami, and you know, you've got LSU playing Clemson. You got Florida State and Alabama. Florida State wants to be good again. Like, that'll be one of those games that we remember. But like, just thinking about Ohio State, Texas individually, I'm not sure that I can remember a week one matchup that was this anticipated. But the week one slate generally, like, feels so big this year. So I'm excited to be a part of it in terms of the coverage. I'm excited to see, you know, who lives up to the hype early on in the season, you know, who's a team that we might have been too high on. And ultimately, this is a sport for overreactions. Like, who are we firing after week one because we're disappointed in the way that their team played? Like, that's what I'm here for. And so I'm excited to watch this whole weekend.
Joshua Perry, NBC Sports, Rushing the Field podcast, of course, won a national title with Ohio State as well, joining us here at 92.3 The Fan. Hey, you know, you mentioned some of those great games. We're going to be locked in on Nussmeier versus Klubnik, obviously LSU versus Clemson. We're focused on quarterbacks here in Cleveland, as you know. But tell me about that game. And I really do, I think Clemson's defense is going to be really good, and I can't find too many people that want to buy in on that with me.
No, I'm totally there. They've got breakout players on all levels of the defense, couple of like all American caliber guys that I'm really excited to watch there. And then for Clemson offensively, as much as we talk about like Ohio State's wide receiver room, Texas's wide receiver room, Clemson's got it back to where they once were with the wide receivers right now. As you mentioned, Klubnik, one of the top quarterbacks. I can't wait to see what that connection looks like. For LSU, I do think the big question for them is how much better their defense can be. They brought in Blake Baker a couple years ago, and he got them like a little bit better last year, but this is a year where they have to take a big step because they're kind of in for the title. They brought back Nussmeier, like they went hard in the transfer portal there. So this is one of those where the narratives on the coaches, I think, are as interesting as anything, where Brian Kelly, for some reason, can't win that early season big matchup, and he hasn't had that magic since the year that they went to the SEC championship. And Dabo was the guy who had lost his touch and didn't have the fastball anymore. And frankly, I think he is coaching a team that could be in the national championship game this year. I'm leaning towards Clemson to win this one. I like what they have. I really do think that they're a legit contender. And Brian Kelly, like, I don't know how he does training camp, but those guys are just not ready to play in week one, the big matchup. So I'm going with the Clemson Tigers in this one.
Josh, fantastic insight as always. We appreciate it.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You giving us a few minutes, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right, great stuff right there with Joshua Perry. Check him out on NBC Sports, Rushing the Field podcast, and everything that he does. All right, we come on back. Want to hear from you guys. 216-474-0092. Is this game just too hard to be able to predict? It's Jonathan Pito and Nick Padone. We're at the Barley House with you guys right here on the Fan. That's fair. 216-474-0092. I guess I can't really find him.
Right.
And that's a beautiful part about it. It's almost like if you win this game, you're almost guaranteed a playoff spot. You're guaranteed into the top 12.
And I think both sides got to be acutely aware of that, and it sweetens the entire game, because if you win this game, and you're going to have to win. It's not you win and you're in, because you're going to have to beat the, you know, lesser opponents on the schedule, and then you're going to have to take care of business against one of Penn State, Michigan, Illinois, and I think the Buckeyes will. It really makes it seem like you win this one and you are set up perfectly to defend that championship, and that's what everybody's going to be watching Ohio State for this year.
Should we get nitty-gritty football on this? I want to ask a nitty-gritty football question.
I'm always down to get nitty-gritty football on anything.
Should Texas treat Jeremiah Smith the same way they did last year, where they held him to, one reception and three total yards, and they basically they let Ohio State use Jeremiah Smith almost as a decoy more than he was anything else? Now, Ohio State won by two touchdowns, so who the hell cares, right? They got the job done. But should they take that same approach?
You heard Joshua say it, though. It's like a pick-your-poison type of thing. Do you want to die? Is it death by a million cuts where you're getting beat up by James Peoples out of the backfield and then all of a sudden Carnell Tate's catching one over the top? Like, is that how you want to go down?
Like, I wonder,
do you want to go down with Jeremiah Smith just putting up a monster 200-yard receiving game? If you're asking me if I'm Texas, how would I do it?
Yeah, I mean, last year worked out for you.
Yeah, but I would probably have to go about it the same way. I think if I was Texas, I think if I can
you still lost by double digits.
Yeah, but if I could neutralize their best player, I guess I have to tell myself, and this is a twisted way of thinking, I'm not arguing that it's not, I have to be able to tell myself that Emeka Buka's not walking through that door, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson aren't walking through that door, and I'm going to make the other Buckeyes beat me. But on the inverse of that, I feel like the Ohio State sideline is going to find a way to make sure that what happened to Jeremiah in that matchup doesn't happen again. I think they're going to find a way to make sure that he doesn't have just 3 yards receiving in this game.
216-474-0092. I want to hear from you guys on this. What should the game plan be for Ohio State? Because there's a million different ways that both these teams can go about it. I think we all just want to see Arch Manning go up against Julian Sain and just it would be watching it around 1:15, and it just feels like it's just haymaker
shootout.
After haymaker. Yes, exactly. And I think we're all kind of prepared for that not to be the case, though.
I know, because if it was last year, it probably could have been the case. But the fact that they graduated Matthew Golden to the NFL, Isaiah Bond here to the Browns, the fact that, you know, the Ohio State sideline graduated a ton of dudes to the league.
15 guys.
I do more
than any other team in the entire college.
I think it maybe starts a little bit slower, the game. I'm saying.
I think that's the expectation with a lot of people. I think everyone is kind of expecting in the back of their mind defense and then run game. And I think on that point, too, I mean, think about it. The defensive lines on these teams are relatively ready to go. And the offensive lines are questionable because Texas, that's four new guys on that offensive line for Texas. So your Ohio State's defensive line against basically a brand new offensive line for Texas, you should be able to you got to give Arch Manning a chance in many respects. Just going to take it easy.
How you think those kids feel, by the way? The new Texas offensive line starters. Okay, not only is it our first game at Texas, you know, or at Ohio State on the road, but you're tasked with the pressure of protecting Arch Manning. Like, that in
scary.
And of itself, it's like
the
Arch
whole franchise,
Manning
the
is
whole everything.
The storyline. He is everything leading up to this matchup. Crazy.
No, I can't imagine. Now, what the fun part about that, though, I heard an interview, and they were talking about basically Arch Manning leading into this week and just the calmness that Arch has attached to all of this and the idea that it's kind of like one of the reasons why everyone went for Shador, or at least some people like yourself, myself, went for Shador. It's It's like you can't possibly tell a guy with the last name Sanders a game's going to be too big. They've been living with these type of games their whole entire life. Same thing with Arch Manning. And there will be an advantage that I think he has over Julian Sain, where Julian's going to have the blood pumping. He's going to have the adrenaline going. Arch Manning, I just don't think he's going to have that.
How did it take us this long into the show to have our first Shador Sanders mentioned?
Well, so I'm trying to tamp down the Shador discussion for right now. We may get into one a little bit later on.
Okay.
We might have to do a state of Shador between me and you. I think that'd kind of be a fun little thing if we did.
We can do
maybe
that.
Both take inventory on it.
But it
feels like this is not the right time to be talking about Shador Sanders in general.
That's probably fair.
My favorite subject.
I would talk about it
all day, but it just feels like it's not the time.
To your point about a Manning being prepared in this game, I do like to liken it back to the old Mike Tyson quote, because I saw some of the chatter that, like, Arch is cool as a cucumber. He's not fazed that this is the national champs, that he's got to go to Columbus.
Is it like everyone's cool until you get hit in the face?
Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Everybody's cool. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know who the next great Ohio State pass rusher is going to be, but I know they got somebody that's going to be
There's
always going to be somebody hunting after Arch Manning.
That is another one of the games within the game. It's like, what happens when you see one of these quarterbacks get sacked, when you see them get knocked down, and then whether or not they'll be able to get back up.
It's the Bo Callahan thing, you know, like see what happens after I sack him. Look at his body language. See what he does.
216-474-0092. All right, we'll leave that there. We're going to get back to that. Anwar Richardson joining us coming up at 5:20. Why this weekend can tell you exactly how you really feel about the Guardians. It's Jonathan Pito and Nick Padone, Afternoon Drive with you guys right here on The Fan. 20 minutes, we'll come back into the Browns. It is Jonathan Pito and it's Nick Padone. We are at the Barley House. Hanging out with you guys in what has been a really kind of rambunctious day here. We're supporting the Real American Freestyle. Nick's getting his taste of wrestling in.
That's a word for it. Rambunctious. I saw this guy with these gold shoes, and there were spikes coming out of them. And then the guy that he's, like, I guess wrestling, not as big of a fan of the gold shoes as I was.
No, what did he, like, pick on him or something?
Is that what happened? Yeah, I hear there's a lot of, like, trash talking happening behind us. There's a lot of cheering. You know, we're on microphones, but there are also other microphones that are, like, competing with us now.
Yeah.
So, we are in the thick of it. Like, I'm ready. Like, wherever this is taking place this weekend, I'm ready to take my shirt off and just mix it up with them in there.
Okay. I'd save the commentary until maybe after everyone leaves the Barley House, and then we can debrief. Does that sound good to you?
That's true. Yeah. Let me clarify. I don't want to wrestle anyone with the gold spikes
and all this. So we'll wait until after they leave.
They can all clear out.
And we'll be real men about it and wait until they leave and then say what we think about it.
I'm cool with that. We're good to pick on the people that are remaining.
Say what you would say about the guy.
Yeah, exactly right. All right. So we had a little bit of a baseball story. Luis Ortiz, Emmanuel Clase are going to remain on the restricted list and administrative leave throughout the end of the 2025 season. And, Nick, it just doesn't make any sense what baseball's doing here. Either they have the info and they're going to end up being suspended inevitably forever is what it kind of seems like it's going to end up being. But either you have the info or you don't have the info. What's the holdup here?
It's taking a tremendously long time. You know, I'm actually taking the fearful side of this. Like, I think they've got info and they're making sure that it's as concrete as it possibly can be before they reveal that info to the public, whether it be through a statement or whether it leaks out to the Passons and the Nightingales of the world. I think they're making sure that whatever they've got on these two guys, it's concrete enough for the punishment that's getting ready to come down. And if you look at baseball and how they've handled some of these other situations, I do have a fear for Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz that not only are their seasons done, and I think we all can expect that at this point, the lockers got cleared out, all of that was weeks ago, but, you know, now we're talking about their major league careers and you know, the punishment. Like, could it be a year? Could it be a lifetime? Like, that's the kind of conversation that we're having.
The only thing I would be worried about is, why are we at a spot where they can't just come down and drop the hammer? Like, what exactly is baseball waiting on? There has to be something that is keeping them from saying, this is just done, we are over it, and we are not going to move forward with these two players. Like, if it is as serious as everyone suggested that it was, and there was some gambling, and they were actually manipulating what they were going to do during the game to try to actually make money, then you have to treat this different. Like, this is the one thing that baseball has, and the one thing that all of these leagues have to have, is a belief that when you and I watch these games, there's no funny business happening.
Right.
Like, they have to maintain that, and so if they did did what they're suspected of doing. What's the weight?
I think to play devil's advocate here, because I truly don't know what's going on. But to play devil's advocate, I do think
is there a chance they just don't necessarily have it pinpointed down because they went to an extreme already to begin with. Like you're saying, no for a reason.
Yeah,
because
that's what I want to relate to the evidence to the audience here is how this all even came about. You know, these first pitches, right? These micro bets. You usually have got, like, as a sports book in our totality, we've got, like, a couple $100 on the first pitch to be a strike,
When it first went down, I even related it to, remember the Alabama baseball coach?
Yes.
Who ended up getting popped because he was trying to bet $100,000 on a game and he was fixing it. And it's like, think about it. Like nobody bets $100,000 in a college baseball game. That gets flagged so instantaneously, just the idea that someone wants to bet. I mean, we talked about Texas and Ohio State, and we talked about how Circa, my friends over there, Derek Stevens, who owns the whole entire sports book, moved the line in such an incremental way because $550,000 is enough to make that. And that's one of the biggest college football games of the past 20 years. Nonetheless, if you have just a $100,000 bet on a college baseball game, nonetheless, the fact that if you have a $10,000 bet on one micro bet.
And that's exactly where the red flags come up. And that's kind of why I think that they're probably just waiting for the correct time to release all of this. Because we're talking about this because we're in Cleveland and because it pertains to our baseball team.
Right.
But nationally, there's no chatter on this. And when they were both accused of it and when they both ultimately got put on this commissioner's exempt list, it was the talk of not just Major League Baseball, not just the talk of sports, but it was the talk of just news, general news, that there could be these professional athletes that were dictating the outcome of a game because of sports gambling. So I think what they're trying to do is make sure, cross all their T's, dot all their I's, that all of their information is 1,000% ironclad,
and then
find the right time to leak this
minutes,
out. Find the right
within,
time.
Well,
to,
we get into the right time in a second, but within minutes of the Ortiz deal, we knew that there was bets placed across three different states. We knew it was New Jersey. We knew it was New York. We knew it was Ohio. Like, if we had all that information and that was reported within minutes of this happening, what's the hold up here? Well, are they trying to connect the dots back to Ortiz? I have a hard time thinking that's the reality.
Perhaps.
Are they trying to pinpoint Class A down? Is that like where some of this is? It seems so odd to me that we just don't have a finite resolution here.
It is, especially because you do like. Okay, so now to lean into your side of the argument. Elsewhere around sports, right? Like Malik Beasley, who hopefully maybe winds up with our Cavs. That sparked. They investigated it. And it cleared.
Right.
This one, however, like, why are we just being... And the fact that there's no update, I think, is the other weird part about this. Like, and it just keeps getting... Every 30 days, are we just going to keep getting an
extension? What's baseball's apology, though, if they end up that they screwed the pooch on this? I don't think that's the case, by the way. But what's baseball's apology? They've derailed the Guardian season in such a ridiculous way. You can make an argument that if the Guardians have Class A as their closer, we don't go through the Cade Smith stuff that we're going through right now, and if you have Ortiz in your starting rotation, you're clearly in a much better spot. Ortiz and Class A, from a pitching standpoint, are still two of the top five players in wins above replacement. What are we going to get from Major League Baseball if they just missed on this and they can't actually associate the bets back to these players? A nice apology?
The same thing. I mean, Malik Beasley should be looking for $40
million.
$40 million
It cost him so much money. And you know the end result, if it ends up being something like this, we're not going to get anything out of this.
No, it'll be my bad.
Guardians fans' season has been tanked and has been ruined. And in large part to what happened with these two players. And the best we would get is, we think there was something fishy here, but we couldn't pinpoint it down. Okay, great, thanks. And again, maybe if they have everything, then come out right now already and put the hammer down and then lay down what your ultimate result is going to be. If they bet on baseball, ban them for life. Yep. We all know that's the end result. If they bet on baseball, ban them for life, and keep this thing moving.
They do need to, like Major League Baseball as a whole, it needs to use this whole thing as a learning lesson on how to handle this as we proceed. It needs to be a lot quicker. The fans shouldn't be left in the dark. The organization shouldn't be left in the dark. Mm-hmm. Like, if think about how many people they employ in that front office. There are people who are not focused on the outcome of tonight's game and this weekend series. There are people that are monitoring
what this offseason is going to look like, the potential trades that are going to be out there. Maybe they'd like to move Emmanuel Clase if he's cleared from this. How can you continue to keep these people in the dark? They need to speed this entire thing up. They really do.
216-474 to below 92. Michael in a car up next on the Fan. What's up, Michael?
Hi, guys. I think this is a little bit generational and a little bit instant Google search mentality. Used to be an investigator. If they were, let's say Class A was approached by an organized crime syndicate and tempted and told nobody would ever find out because of the sophisticated way that they put together a syndicate. And with gambling being worldwide, with banking being worldwide, with not even knowing how many other people involved, this investigation could just be taking time. There can be criminal aspects to this. There could be other players. This just isn't a matter of did he do this until you know what this is. And if there's a criminal element to this, you have to get every shred of evidence if you have any hope of winning your case in court. Because it doesn't do any good to charge somebody with something they really did and not be able to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. So the mere fact that investigations aren't Google searches and over in 2 months or 2 weeks or 2 days or 10 minutes is...
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That's because sometimes in the real world, things take time.
And I can understand that. And thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your perspective. One, this should be at the top of the list for Major League Baseball, though.
Right.
You are an $11 billion industry. I would imagine if you had people gambling on your games the way that baseball appears to have, you'd probably want to put this up the flagpole.
And this
might have a top priority red flag on it.
Especially, Jonathan, because this is the golden rule, right?
Baseball's built everything around the idea that they have integrity. And
right.
When Pete Rose bets on baseball, he gets banished and made to live in it for the entirety of his life based off of that. Like, this is something they take very seriously. Now, I do want to address the other side that Michael's getting to, and there is something that when these things first started being floated around, there were people in the baseball community that was wondering if we're going to the crime element of this, not a syndicate
right.
necessarily, more the idea that was Clase, was Ortiz, Did they have a situation? I saw Joe Sheehan pose it this way once, and it stuck in my brain. So if I mess it up, just stay with me. The idea that if you had a family member that was being told by one of these crime syndicates, right, basically, hey, we're going to hold you here with a knife to your head, with a knife to your throat, and you're going to get your brother, your cousin, your whoever to, that's in Major League Baseball, to go ahead and make these first pitch, whatever, make it the reality, make this happen. And then ultimately, instead of Ortiz being like, well, I trust the government, because he's not going to trust the government, or I trust Major League Baseball, instead of doing that, he just did it and said, well, it's fine. It's easier just to throw a first pitch ball, and then it makes them happy. My sister, my family member, whoever is, they're fine. No, we wash our hands clean of it, and it is what it is. Maybe they're investigating that side of it. It's the only thing I can ever think of, though.
And the other piece of it, I get that they want to clear, you know, because the legal thing is real. Like there, those questions kind of surfaced with the Shohei Ohtani stuff. Like, could not only there be a ban from baseball, but you also see one of the most beloved sports figures wind up behind bars, you know, because you are, this is fraud, really. It is. So
yeah,
they do have to make sure that everything is handled, not only for their own personal business, but also if this thing does escalate to more of a legal issue.
All right, Matt in a car up next. What's up, Matt?
Well, yeah, you guys kind of start jumping on it. The biggest reason Ortiz and Class A are probably going to get hammered hard for this is that they can't just blame it on their translator. But, gosh, I just think it's hypocritical, the line the MLB draws here. You know, I know there's a sign all in the locker rooms, going back to the Pete Rose days, you know, it's the don't bet on baseball, whatever. But I feel like it's MLB almost kind of rubbing everyone's face in it. It's like you go out on Twitter or Facebook after the games or before the games for the Guardians, presented by Bet365. You look on the boards, yeah, of all these the stadiums. It's like DraftKings, FanDuel, all plaster all over. And like, clearly the MLB, all these leagues are fine with, like, you know, raking in all this money. I'm not saying enabling kind of thing.
But Matt, let me ask you this. Like, they also have alcohol sponsors lining the outfield wall, and Jose Ramirez isn't stumbling up to the plate because he's hammered. You know what I mean? These guys, just because it's advertised doesn't mean that you can do it. Like,
I get it. I think it's a different world with, like, gambling. Like, when you're throwing, when MLB is throwing around their money into it, like, personally, if it's not baseball, I don't care if these guys are going around, like, gambling their own money or whatever. Obviously, I still hold to it that Class A threw a few of those games last year. Like, it looks way more sketchy now, in my opinion, just how he suddenly, just all of a sudden, lost it in that game against the Tigers when he gave up that home run. Or, yeah, and then game 3 and 4 in the ALCS. Like,
Yeah.
Something all of a sudden shifted. I don't know if it was, like you guys said, if it was like some crime syndicate in where, like, you know, there's like pressure on him. But yeah, yikes. Like, honestly, I just think MLB is a little bit hypocritical on this, and they should obviously crack down on the, while you're in MLB, don't be betting on MLB games and stuff. But yeah, like, just, I don't know, the whole hypocrisy at all from MLB standpoint. By the way, they still haven't ever did anything to Astros, who were actually cheating game two.
All right, Matt. Matt, we appreciate the call, man. We got to run, got a boogie. All right, we'll leave that there. We'll get back to the Guardians and what this weekend series means just a little bit later on. Do you believe that winning is priority one for the Browns? We'll hear what Nathan Zagura had to say next. It's Afternoon Drive right here in the Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.